Fluffy white clouds against a bright blue sky, behind a gold shield with the letters WB in its centre. Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner Entertainment Company. Warner Brothers presents a Seagal Nasso production. A Steven Seagal film. Steven Seagal as Forrest Taft. Michael Caine as Michael Jennings. On Deadly Ground. An American bald eagle with white head, yellow beak and brownish back rests by a piece of wood with a range of snowy mountains in the background, with Joan Chen as Masu. Sparse vegetation leads to a forest with snowy peaks in the distance. John C. McKinley as Magruder, Shari Shattuck as Lyles and Billy Bob Thornton as Colton. From above the treetops, an expanse of icy water leading to the snow-capped mountains. The snowy mountaintops pierce through scattered clouds. A polar bear saunters through a landscape of jagged rocks which are covered in snow. Wispy clouds give way to reveal the snow-capped mountain range. A helicopter bursts into the white landscape. On an oil rig, men frantically try to extinguish a fire. A grey-haired man with a moustache runs up to a helicopter which has landed. A tall man with a dark ponytail exits the helicopter and lights a cigar. He's wearing cowboy boots, dark jeans and a Native American coat. An oil rigger hands the ponytailed man a yellow boiler suit. The mustachioed man runs towards the ponytailed man.
Hey, you, what's cooking? God damn it, Forrest, this is a disaster here. She's totally out of control. I got four guys down. And all because your goddamn pal Jennings lousy.
Your goddamn pal Jennings lousy what, Hugh?
That was Jennings.
Come on, the crane's all loaded with explosives for you.
Hey, Forrest is here! And fire's just been enough!
I'm telling you, Forrest, if those goddamn preventers caused this, I told Jennings they weren't up to spec, but the son bitch made me use them anyway.
Oh, come on now, Hugh. How'd he make you do anything?
Hugh's been getting sloppy lately, hasn't he?
Certainly has, Mr. Jennings. Certainly has.
You don't believe me, do you? You think I'm making this up?
Get it! Just can't figure out why somebody'd do that to his own rig. It doesn't make sense.
He really paying you that much money, Forrest? Now you believe him over your friends?
Why don't you fall back, Hugh, before you say something stupid?
You used to be a good man, Forrest. Now you're nothing but a whore.
For $350,000? I'd fuck anything once. All right, boys, where's my shield? Hot enough for you in there?
Brand new preventers. Don't make sense.
The chain.
Jennings and his henchmen exchange concerned looks. Forrest Taft, the ponytailed man, rests his protective shield against a fire truck and lights his cigar with a flame burning on the shield. Forrest takes out an explosives timer from his pocket. Everyone except Jennings and Forrest duck for cover. Forrest presses the timer button. He's unruffled by the explosion behind him. The fire is out.
Very impressive, Forrest, as always.
Jennings talks to Hugh.
I'll expect your full report on my desk by morning.
Oh, you'll have it. You'll have it.
I look forward to
it. All right, go on. Get that goddamn diverter up there.
The helicopter is flying across the snowy landscape. On board are Jennings, his two henchmen, and Forrest.
So what did he say?
I don't know, something about faulty preventers or something like that.
Nothing to do with it. It was human error all the way, as usual. As in almost every fire or spill you've ever seen. Am I right, Forrest?
Preventers were not the problem.
And the human error in this case is Hugh Palmer. He's the rig foreman. It's his responsibility.
And his burden to pay the penalty.
My oil is flowing all over the ocean instead of into my refinery where it's worth money to me. I'll have Eskimos and environmentalists probing all the orifices of my body for the next 2 weeks. Now, why the hell would I do that to myself on purpose?
I don't know. I kind of asked him the same thing. Doesn't really matter now, does it? I sort of blew up all the evidence, didn't I?
I guess you did.
Jennings smiles as the helicopter banks right. In Abby's, a roadside diner.
I'm a hard working man.
A roughneck is approached by a drunken Eskimo.
Well, that's looking polar bear face.
I got Tana with his fish breath busted my balls. Don't touch me.
Don't you sweetie. You want some money?
Take this, an animal. Hey, don't bust my balls. I'm warning you.
Goodbye. Buy you a drink.
Listen to me, you yellow snow eating, welfare collecting, redskin piece of shit. Get the fuck out of here!
You want to smoke too?
Dances with whiskey.
He shoves the Eskimo who falls.
Hey, I warned him, huh? Hey, cupcake. The fuck you think you're looking at?
To Forrest across the diner.
Oh shit.
Nothing much at all.
Holy fuck.
Fuck him up, Forrest!
The roughneck watches Forrest walk slowly towards him, but Forrest walks straight past.
You're lucky.
Pussy. Stars,
asshole. Abby, I need a GT.
Right about that. Fucking pansy.
Forrest, now seated at the bar, is approached by Hugh, who taps his shoulder. Forrest turns to acknowledge Hugh, then lights a cigar.
Sit down here. Don't sneak up on me, I might shoot you in the eye.
Okay, just don't hit me, that's all.
How you doing, Bubba?
Hugh sits beside Forrest and takes off his cap.
Look, I might have been out of line before.
I think you were wrong about something.
No, I know you're no whore.
No, you were right about that. You were just wrong when you thought that I was a good man once.
Jesus, you sound as bad as me.
What's eating at you?
I'm just under a lot of pressure, Forrest. Three of my men are dead, including your pal, Lorenzo. You don't know what's going on.
Yeah, fucking hero.
Hugh takes a swig of alcohol. Forrest and the roughneck exchange glares. Hugh looks disapprovingly at Forrest.
Don't you even give half a shit? You still don't believe me? That those preventers are mad?
I believe you. I saw them, man. They had stress cracks all over them. If those were new, something's funny.
Goddamn right, something's funny. That's what I keep telling you. And if you still can't figure out why Jennings made me use them anyway, check out the requisition file on Aegis One. Go ahead.
I got it to tape.
You got the clearance. I can't get in there, but you can. Check it out. Then we'll talk.
Listen to me. I left my day pack and some weapons up at your place. I think I'm gonna pick them up and go up into the hills.
Well, they're in the closet. All you gotta do is get them.
Upstairs closet.
Yeah.
Forrest nods. Hugh leaves.
Hey, Mike, check it out. Cupcake's date.
Oh, you're bailing on
me. Oh, come on, Cupcake. Don't cry. What happened? Did your boyfriend leave you? Hey, you know, Pocahontas is still available.
Yeah. Cupcake's dream date.
Yo, Geronimo. Oh, Chase. This way. You still want that broom? Huh? Come on, I gotta be a few. No hard feelings, huh? Come on. Buck up for the suds, pal. Here you come.
The Roughneck taunts the Eskimo.
All right, here. Yeah.
He throws a beer at the Eskimo. Forrest stands up.
Forrest, don't break anything. Understand?
You want to play with me?
Oh, you want a piece of this?
I am afraid I'll fucking kill him.
Let's get out of here. Come on.
Bypassing the Roughneck, Forrest kicks another man in the face.
That's natives 8 and oil workers 0. Anybody else want to play with Cupcake?
Hey, come on.
Hey, buddy, don't be fucking with oil workers, huh?
Okay, you're a man, right?
This guy doesn't have a fucking clue.
Are you a man?
Oh, Jesus.
I am a man. Yeah, come on, man. I got a big pair of balls right between my legs.
Did you use those to beat up on this little native man? Big balls, okay. We're gonna play a little game. We'll play the hand slap game. One man leaves the circle. I miss, you get a shot. You miss, I get a shot.
All right, I'll play your game. You play my game.
I'll play your game afterwards if I'm still standing. Because I might not be. Because you're a tough guy, you're a man. And you got big balls.
All right.
Don't hurt him, Forrest.
Here we go. Mr. Big Balls.
I'm ready.
Okay. Stop. Gotta be quick. You gotta be quick.
You know what? Why don't you just take your best shot, pal?
Ouch! Get out!
This is the man's man, and I'm the Cupcake. One man leaves. Here we go. We're men, right? You're a man, right? Here we go, man. Put your hands up! Put your hands up!
The Roughneck prepares for the next round of slaps. Forrest punches the Roughneck, who pukes.
Ooh, that's disgusting. What is that, halibut?
Up for the suds, pal.
I think maybe he ate that at Maggie's in Valdez. You're a man, remember? Big balls between your legs? Okay, here we go. All right, come on.
Hesitantly, the Roughneck lifts his hands. Forrest punches the Roughneck in the face, knocking him to the ground as the drunken Eskimo looks on. The Roughneck, with bloodied nose, stands up and looks at Forrest.
What does it take?
Dazed, the Roughneck looks at Forrest.
What does it take to change the essence of a man?
The roughneck, blood dripping in his mouth, struggles to speak.
I need time to change.
The crowd watches.
I do too.
I do too.
Wheeler, we'll give you a ride home.
Thank you, my brother. We're about to go on a sacred journey. This journey will be good for all people. But you must be careful.
Right.
Give me the bottom line.
ABC and CBS are leading with it at 7. Local environmentalists are calling for investigations by the EPA, OSHA, and the Department of Environmental Concerns.
For God's sake, why all the heat? It's a small oil spill. Accidents happen.
And that's why we arranged for this commercial. We bought time on all the in-state nets.
And we can run it in the back.
Get like away. Put it on another circuit and bring it up to half.
All right, I'll lock that down.
That's okay, huh?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Go get him.
Thank you.
He walks onto a film set.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. We start with an out-of-focus world. We pull back to one twig, one branch, and then the whole pristine forest.
Listen. You have any great ideas, just keep them to your fucking self, okay? And leave this shit to me. Now, where do I stand?
I don't know.
All right, guys, we're ready to go.
Hey.
Marker.
Lift the cards up. I can't see them down there.
Two caribou are beside him.
Every year, hundreds of thousands of porcupine caribou make their way down from the Ogilvy Mountains to the coastal plains of Alaska. They come to feed off the tundra grasses and to have their children. Children like these little guys right here. You see, we at Aegis Oil believe in protecting our natural treasures. We believe in keeping them safe for future generations to enjoy. After all, the Earth is our home too. Who cares? We do. At Aegis Oil. Cut! Fuck, these animals stink. Bring me a washcloth. Take that.
Mr. Jennings, have that man stand.
So tell me more about the fire. What exactly did we lose?
What did we lose? We lost the rig.
File a claim with Lloyd's of London.
It's already done. Oh, yeah, by the way, there were 3 fatalities. We'll know about 2 others by the end of the day.
All roughnecks?
Yes, sir.
Offer the standard settlement.
Bruce, would you get the fuck out of here, please?
If you don't mind my saying so, sir. I glanced at the standard settlement recently, and it seemed to me that the long-term benefits for the surviving spouses was unnecessarily generous.
Now you know why I love this woman. Amend the settlement as you see fit. What's the position on Aegis One? Lyles.
Mr. Jennings, surely you understand that on any substantial construction project, particularly one of this size, there are inevitable delays.
How long do they say now?
21 days.
God damn it, we have 13 days! 13!
Sir, we already have 2 crews working full-time.
Then put on a third crew! Why is this so hard for you to understand? Get out of here!
Sir,
I don't give a shit! Now let me explain.
You look 10 years younger.
Get out! Aegis One is going to be the biggest rig and refinery on the face of this planet. And if it is not online and operational in 13 days, then the oil rights will revert back to the goddamn Eskimos. And that is not going to happen.
There's something else. A friend of mine at the EPA says he hears they have an unnamed source making noises about substandard equipment at Aegis One. There was discussion of faulty preventers specifically.
Jennings looks away from Lyles, the young woman.
You, Palmer. Now wouldn't that be lovely? And we lose all rights, worth billions of dollars a week.
Jennings trembles with rage.
I don't need that kind of problem right now.
Jennings looks over at his henchman, who is sitting next to Lyles.
You're the people I hired to help me get rid of these kind of problems.
The goateed henchman stares at Jennings and taps his chin with his thumb resolutely. Dense forest beside a lake with snow-capped mountains in the distance. A pipeline descends a steep, grassy hill, An oil rig stands in a large expanse of water with an oil plant behind it. Forrest, in an SUV with his name, Forrest Taft, written on the door, drives up to a security gate at the oil plant. A guard opens the gate from his hut.
Light goes on?
Sure does.
The security gate closes behind Forrest as he drives in. A long oil truck bearing a logo for Aegis crosses the plant. Forrest walks from his parked SUV with a bunch of keys in his hand towards the doors to the control room. He unlocks the doors and enters. A security guard, soda can in hand, checks the monitor screens in his office. Forrest accesses information on Aegis 1 blowout preventers on a computer screen.
Holy shit!
An alert reads, defective batch, do not use, wait for next shipment. Blowout preventers shipment delayed, ETA 90 days. The guard is alerted to Forrest accessing classified information. He calls Jennings.
Sir, security alert in progress.
I'll take it on the box.
Nothing major, but you'd red flag Forrest Taft for security access?
Yes, of course.
Well, he's into an Aegis 1 requisitions file.
So he's used his security code to gain access to the main computer, has he?
That is correct, sir.
Well done. It would seem your friend, Forrest Taft, has gained access to a restricted Aegis 1 file, a requisition file, one that would include the purchase of all preventers.
That is a problem.
If I might, I'd like to be the first to volunteer to take care of that problem as well.
I suggest you take care of the Hugh Palmer problem first, Mr. Magruder. He's the immediate threat.
He certainly is.
And change the access code.
At his cabin, Hugh is downloading Aegis computer files. A message reads, warning, this will erase data permanently. Magruder and a henchman arrive.
Hugh? Hello? Anybody home?
Oh, shit.
Hugh Palmer.
Hugh grabs his disk and an Aegis notebook.
Oh, there you are. Good morning, how are you? Otto and I, we've just come by to offer you a ride to Mr. Jennings' press conference. It starts in a couple of hours, and he very much would like you to be there with him, just to clear up a few things.
What kind of thing?
Well, actually, why don't we sit down? Yeah, please, it's your home. For starters, Hugh, that spill in the code the other day was actually nobody's fault but your own. And all this business about substandard equipment, which really has nothing to do with anything, does it, Hugh?
You tell Jennings I rolled over for you bastards long enough.
Uh-huh.
If he uses those same preventers when Aegis 1 goes online, there's going to be a goddamn disaster, and I don't want any part of it.
It's just one guy talking here, but I got to tell you, that's a very poor attitude on your part.
Huh?
Here's what we're going to do.
Why don't we skip the press conference altogether, Hugh?
Good.
Because if this is what you truly believe, I just don't see how your being there is going to help Mr. Jennings in any way.
No, no.
I am, however, going to have to ask you for your pipe tally books, Hugh. And I'm relatively certain you know which ones I'm talking about. They were the books that you promised to supply the EPA with.
Listen!
No.
Yes!
Stupid shit.
Time up.
Hey, Hugh?
Get off of me, you slut!
Stay with me.
What? I got nothing here!
Consider yourself a modern guy,
Fuck
Hugh.
Fuck you, you bastard!
Sometimes modern guys are a little too modern for their own fucking good.
What the fuck are you?
Shit.
What do you think is gonna be the case here? Because most modern guys put a logbook under their computer. The thing is,
Your computer's been downloaded, Hugh. I'm afraid that's a problem.
That's your problem.
Oh, yeah. Why don't we cut through all this wretched, huh, Hugh?
Yeah.
In our present count, you only have 10 fingers. I honestly don't want to have to ask you 10 times. Where are your books? I want the discs, and I want those books.
I'm telling you, I don't have them!
Have you listened to yourself lately? Have you? Everything with you is I. There is no I in team. It is T-E-A-M. Team. I know.
No. No! No! No!
Gotta quit while you're ahead. You know what I'm saying? Why, you can still play marbles. Where are the discs? Where are the books?
Fuck you!
Fuck me! No, fuck you!
Otto smashes Hugh's fingers with a large white animal bone. Lyles gives a press conference.
Aegis Oil has now determined that what little spillage there was in this week's accident was contained so effectively by our environmental impact crews that only minimal disruption of the area's ecosystem will result.
What do you mean by minimal?
According to our analyst, the presence of petroleum byproducts and other toxins in Inulin Cove will be back down to acceptable levels according to EPA guidelines within 3 months. So, by the time your next fishing season starts, the cove will be back to normal.
A young Eskimo woman approaches Jennings.
There'll be a written statement. Thank you.
Hey, wait a minute. Things are never going to be the same. Aegis Oil always wants to talk about acceptable levels of this and acceptable levels of that. But the people here want to talk about the poisons in their environment that weren't here before Aegis Oil came to town. We want to talk about increased rates of skin cancer. Women who fail to ovulate, and when they do, they give birth to abnormal babies.
What about
Tribal council wants to talk about.
Is this the same tribal council who sold its oil and mineral rights to my company 20 years ago?
Thank you very much.
The same tribal council, sir, that will get those rights back 12 days from today when you don't make the startup deadline for Aegis One.
We'll make the deadline.
We'll see about that, Mr. Jennings.
Is that a threat, Mr. Itak?
Blood of all people is upon you, Mr. Jennings.
What is it, Lars?
It's oil.
Oh, thank God.
You deserve it!
This is an earth fucking suit!
Forrest and Jennings with his team walk quickly through the office building. Jennings wipes the oil off his suit.
Did you see that insane woman? Ruined a perfectly good suit. I'm just appalled at these people. They're animals.
They're not too crazy about you either, believe me.
The hell with the goddamn Eskimos. I make my deadline, I'll be in the driver's seat.
You know, I doing a little snooping around the other day and went over to Aegis One and checked out the latest requisition file. I think I understand now why you're using the substandard preventers. If you wait for the next shipment, you'll never make the deadline. I gotta say, I'm a little ashamed of you. I'd just like to ask you something. How much is enough? How much money is enough?
I've got to get out of these clothes. I'll talk to you later. Okay, Forrest?
Stick around.
Later, Jennings and Lyles emerge from an office and approach Forrest.
God damn it, there's been another accident. A substation on the North Slope. I know we've had our disagreements, but can you do this one last thing for me?
Thought we were going to have a little talk.
After this.
Forrest looks cynical.
Can you help us out with this, Forrest? You're the only one with the expertise.
An Aegis helicopter lands at the substation in a snowstorm. Forrest gets out and turns to the other passengers, Jennings, Magruder and Otto.
Check it out, see what I need. If you smell anything, get out of here.
Don't worry, we know what we're doing.
Forrest secures his breathing apparatus. Watched by Otto, Forrest walks towards yellow smoke pouring out of a vent. Magruder and Jennings exchange looks. Forrest enters a building with a door sign which reads "No smoking, open flame." He trudges across the water-soaked floor. Torch in hand, he approaches a pipe with steam billowing out of it. In the helicopter...
Your turn, Mr. Magruder.
Jennings hands Magruder a timer. Forrest sees Hugh's battered corpse, then a bomb. Magruder presses the timer. Forrest is flung through the air by the force of the explosion. A large plume of black smoke billows in the sky. A group of Eskimos ride their dog sleds. They see a polar bear ahead and give chase. A subtitle. There is smoke in the distance. The spirit of the man bear lives within the smoke. I have seen it in my vision. They set off. Forrest lies unconscious, face down in the snow, surrounded by debris from the explosion. The Eskimos arrive at their village, nestled in a valley. Male Eskimos carry Forrest's unconscious body into a hut watched by the young Eskimo woman who threw oil at Jennings.
Ladies and gentlemen, please. We now have evidence that both the Inulek code spill and the explosion yesterday at substation 101 was the result of sabotage. We have tentatively identified at least two of the conspirators as former AGS employees who appear to have died in the latest explosion. Forrest Taft and Hugh Palmer. I hope that this brings to an end these wanton acts of destruction, as well as the crass attempts by Mr. Itok's tribal council to use them as a public relations tool to derail the timely completion of the Aegis One refinery.
But you're talking about internal sabotage by people in your own company. Is this how you run Aegis Oil?
You just sense, man. Thank you. No more questions.
In their village, the Eskimos are going about their daily routines. A young child plays with a husky dog. Inside a hut, an elderly woman chews a substance, removes it from her mouth, and hands it to Forrest, who is lying down. Forrest grimaces. A male Eskimo, his head encased in a raven headdress, enters the hut. The elderly woman leaves. The man approaches Forrest's bedside with the young Eskimo woman. Forrest watches sleepily as the elderly man removes his raven headdress.
This is my father.
Tell him
My name is Forrest.
Unahook, Forrest Ahook.
I can meet them tomorrow at the cut. But that man can also.
And he's Siluk.
Thank you for rescuing me.
Umhook, Guyatin, Nashkwakminik, Jalishhook, Jaliaklatminik.
Then I talk.
He says it was nothing. He thought you were a bear. He still thinks you might be a bear. He hasn't decided yet.
No. You tell him I'm a mouse. Hiding from the hawks in the house of a raven.
He says that's just what a bear would say.
The elderly man, Siluk, lifts up Forrest's shirt and sprinkles a powder over his wounds.
He says you sound like a bear too.
With a large knife, Siluk removes a piece of shrapnel from Forrest's back.
There's no sign of him yet, sir, and I can assure you we've been over every inch of ground up here. Quite frankly, I don't see how there's any way he could have survived that explosion.
Your goddamn cleanup goons haven't found his fucking body, and the son of a bitch is alive. Find him, goddammit. Do not fail.
Yes, sir, we won't.
Magruder hangs up.
God damn, that was pleasant. Otto, Mr. Jennings said say hello to you. And it'd like us to keep looking.
Otto looks away. Jennings to Lyles.
Are you Pat?
Excuse me?
You and I, we're going to Aegis One. Make sure we go online on time.
Yes, sir.
Jennings and Lyles, both wearing dark suits, leave his office. Forrest crawls out of a hut while the Eskimos are asleep. Outside, he looks around at the village. Three huskies are lying in the snow. Forrest looks around and walks down a snowy slope towards the dogs. A sled rests at the top. A husky growls.
It's okay, boys, relax. We're just going for a little ride.
Whoa! Hey! These dogs off of me! Fucking dogs, get off of me!
Listen to me. I didn't tell you the whole story, but I'm in trouble. People are after me, and if they come here, you guys are in a lot of danger.
He says if you're healthy enough to steal, you're healthy enough to make your journey.
A convoy of Eskimo dog sleds crosses a wide expanse of deep snow, with Forrest seated as a passenger in one of them. Now the Eskimos have parked their sleds in the snow and their dogs are resting. Siluk, his daughter and Forrest climb a hill. A raven flies by, later by a campfire.
There was a time there were no people on the earth. Until the fifth day, a man burst forth from the sacred place, full grown. Looking up, he sees a raven. Reuven stared intently at man and said, "Wait here." When Reuven returned, he had made the birds, fish, and animals. But Reuven was worried that man would destroy everything he had made to inhabit the earth. So he formed Bear to be feared by man and to protect the land. Now the outsiders have come. They're not afraid of the bear. They do not respect the land.
Siluk leads Forrest from the campfire over to a rock. Forrest sits down on it.
We must find a way to teach them respect. That's why I did not let you leave.
Why me?
You fought Nanook the bear. You survived the cold of Ima the river. Hear the gods saying, I listen to what they say. In you, I've seen a great spirit. Are you willing to discover the nature of that spirit?
He nods.
You have died twice. Now sleep and be reborn. You will fight your most difficult battle. Then you will find your way back.
Siluk touches Forrest's head with a feather. He falls backwards. Images of an eagle, then a tribal ceremony with bare-breasted women dancing. A grizzly bear runs through a dense wood. Forrest runs at the bear, leaps on its back, and stabs it with a knife. The bear flings Forrest off its back and into a white water river. Forrest is tossed around in the churning waters of the river as the bare-breasted women continue to dance. Forrest is overcome by the rapids and forced underwater. Forrest, now wearing Eskimo tribal clothing, is in a candlelit cave. On one side is an old woman, on the other a sexy naked young woman posing seductively on a bed. Forrest looks from one to the other. The old woman shakes the maracas she is holding. The young woman tries to lure Forrest towards her. Forrest clenches his fists, then he puts his hands together as if in prayer. Forrest sits beside the old woman. Tell me, why are you suffering?
These tears, this heart, is very heavy. I see what man has done to Mother Earth. This creates deep sadness and suffering for all living things. They have defiled the sacred mother. I have chosen you to go forth and tell them. They have little time left.
The old woman approaches Forrest.
Great hardships and sufferings will come if they do not have a change of heart. You must teach them to fear the bear.
She shakes her maracas towards the cauldron. The liquid inside starts bubbling, then it becomes still. A reflection of a soaring eagle, a white polar bear. Forrest puts his hand in the cauldron. He removes his hand. His fingers are covered in a dark tar-like substance. The old woman's face becomes obscured. Siluk stands on a rock by the edge of an expanse of water. Forrest appears from the depths, raising his arms in the air triumphantly. He bends forward and enters the water again. Sir Luke pulls Forrest from the water. A helicopter flies over a vast snow-covered mountain range. From the chopper, a few stone huts are spotted.
We're approaching the village now, sir. We'll be setting down momentarily.
Sir Luke exits from his hut. The helicopter flies overhead and swoops over the settlement. Villagers come out of their homes. A small group gathers and the people look upwards. Two small children stand with an older man. They are all dressed in warm furs. They watch the chopper descend. A man with a black moustache walks with Sir Luke. Magruder and Otto get out of the helicopter. Magruder points at a grey-haired man.
You're the chief? Huh? You're the chief? Have you seen this man?
Forrest's photo.
Spread out.
Otto pulls back the fur skin door of a dwelling and looks inside. He comes back holding Forrest's long jacket.
Sir?
God damn it.
Is there any other sign of him?
No, sir.
All right, old man. Where the fuck is he?
No, where is he? You give this to me! This is mine! Give this...
Sir Luke's dark-haired daughter has grabbed the jacket. Sir Luke has tried to intervene but has been shot by Magruder.
Son of a bitch!
I will watch you die.
You don't even know who this asshole is! You saw that? He attacked me! He attacked me!
Villagers with spears watch Otto push Magruder to the helicopter. Sir Luke's daughter sits on the ground by her father and sobs. The helicopter rises in the air. Four men lift Sir Luke from the ground. Pairs are attached by ropes to a sled. They pull the sledge and Forrest through the stark, frozen, mountainous land. Forrest, wrapped in fur, stands at the back of the sledge. Eight dogs pull the sledge over the snowy ground as Forrest holds on. A number of huts are nestled in the mountains. Forrest sees a group of people standing near a doorway. He throws an anchor-like hook off his sled before coming to a halt. Forrest pulls his hood away from his face and walks inside. The man with the black moustache, Sir Luke's daughter and a group of villagers stand around Sir Luke's bedside. Forrest walks up. The man with the black moustache looks on. Sir Luke holds an amulet.
He says, you're the spirit warrior. The gods have already decided your fate. Eagle and the bear are your spirit guides. This special amulet will help guide you in and out of the spirit world.
He gives the amulet to Forrest.
Tell him.
Forrest swallows heavily and looks at Sir Luke's daughter.
Thank you. And goodbye.
Koyana, Jennifer, Doingot, Titok.
I will see you on the water when your task is done.
Sir Luke's hand rests near a bullet wound on his shoulder. His face becomes still. His daughter starts to cry. Three candles are extinguished. A large bird takes flight. The vast Aegis oil works covering many stories. There are large windows amidst the metal structures. Bright industrial lights shine on the numerous floors. In his office, Magruder is with Jennings and Lyles.
You didn't find Taft, but you managed to kill an unarmed Eskimo.
Well, I'm not an officer of the court, am I?
Lyles walks out of the office.
In front of a dozen witnesses.
Mr. Jennings, the tribe completely misinterpreted our presence there. They panicked, attacked, and forced us to defend ourselves.
You stay here and start planning additional security for Aegis One. We're running out of time.
Forrest is shown a motorized sled.
But you guys have had this all along?
For emergencies.
Forrest sits on the driver's seat of the black motorized sled. Saluk's daughter sits on the back, dressed in pale furs. Forrest drives them across a flat expanse of snow-covered ground. Now they have left the sled behind and have started to walk. Mountain peaks surround the area. A helicopter flies across an area with tufts of greenery and dustings of snow.
Turn around. I think I see something down there.
Forrest and Saluk's daughter walk down a bank in a dense forest. Forrest wears a bag made of fur slung over one shoulder. Saluk's daughter carries a fur bag in her hand. At the bottom of the slope is Hugh's cabin. They see a green van, a yellow mailbox and a flight of stairs. Forrest and Saluk's daughter enter Hugh's kitchen. Broken wooden drawers and sheets of paper are scattered on the floor.
Looks like they trashed this place pretty good.
The floor is littered with papers and empty drawers. A cupboard is empty and the door hangs open. Forrest and Saluk's daughter climb the stairs. They enter a bedroom. A picture is hanging askew on the wall.
I've been here too.
Forrest extracts a black rucksack from a cupboard. He unzips it.
Those pair of pants over there, those boots, they should fit you. Still got my 45.
In the bag is a floppy disk and the Aegis logo.
Good old Hugh.
On the mountain.
Looks like they must have gone on foot from here.
The black sled has been abandoned. Otto uses a walkie-talkie.
He's still one step ahead of us.
I'll roger that.
Come on, let's go back. Let's try Hugh's cabin.
At Hugh's cabin.
Hey, Mazu, put that pack down. Come in here, look in here, give me all the shotgun shells you can, 12 gauge. We'll load up the truck.
Forrest takes a gun from an open cabinet, then looks out of the window.
Oh, looks like my friends are here to play. Okay, get in there.
Forrest sees Otto, a man in a beige coat, and two men in black running towards the cabin. Magruder begins to climb up a balcony. The man in the beige coat opens the door and the others approach. Saluk's daughter stands in the shower cubicle near Forrest. The man in the beige coat is looking the other way as Forrest walks onto the landing with two guns. Forrest shoots the ceiling with one and the man with the other. He shoots a man in black. The man in beige has got to his feet. Forrest shoots him and he slumps to the ground. A man in black shoots at Forrest. He fires back. Forrest struggles with his gun as Otto walks in the kitchen. The man in black hurls a gun at Forrest. The two men walk closer, sizing each other up. Forrest has shoved the man in black towards a glazed cupboard. He picks up the white animal bone and hits Otto, who slumps to the floor. At Aegis One...
Who the hell is this guy? Just who the fuck is he?
Who is he? You want to know who he is?
Sir.
Try this. Delve down into the deepest bowels of your soul. Try to imagine the ultimate fucking nightmare. And that won't come close to this son of a bitch when he gets pissed.
Magruder walks after Jennings and Niles.
Well, sir, I think that we got that one covered because he seems to be pretty pissed.
Very pissed.
Then I suggest you try and stop him.
What about independent contractors? I know of a group based out of New Orleans.
Independent contractors? You mean mercenaries?
Spartax used mercenaries in the Philippines, sir. RDL used them in Angola.
Those are third world countries you're talking about.
Alaska's a third world country. It's just one we happen to own.
Jennings fixes Lyles with a steely gaze. A dark grey-green helicopter descends towards the ground in an area of forest station. A red SUV with an Aegis logo is on the ground near to the helicopter. The doors open, and a man with a grey moustache gets out.
Just stay put!
Jennings gets out of the SUV.
Mr. Jennings, I'm Stone. Were you able to get the files I requested?
Yeah, here. This guy's already committed two acts of sabotage.
Mr. Magruder will be going along with you as liaison. You'll be reporting to him. He'll be reporting to me. Understood?
Understood. Now, if there's no new information, we'll get on with the search. We've got quite a sophisticated little listening post set up inside. We'll find your man. That brings us to another question.
The man with the grey moustache, Stone, walks with Jennings.
How do you want him delivered?
Jennings' eyes narrow and his lips thin. He looks in Stone's eyes.
I see.
Stone turns and walks with Magruder towards a group of men who are standing around the helicopter. The green van drives through the mountains. A man with shoulder-length auburn-coloured hair is riding on horseback. He sees the van. The van stops. The horse climbs down a hill towards the van. The auburn man looks at Forrest.
Hey, brother.
Hey, brother. Whatever's on this disc is what Hugh died for. These are the pressure readings from Aegis One. The whole goddamn platform is a time bomb, you know? As soon as that thing gets online, it's gonna blow. It just won't take the pressure. But what doesn't make sense to me is these other wells. You see these high levels of benzene and toluene? They're like 5-10 times what they're supposed to be, Johnny.
Deep well injection.
That's what I think.
What?
What they'll do is they'll play a well out for everything it's got. Then they'll take all the deadly toxins that they have from everywhere else. They'll reverse the pumps, blow it back in there, top it off with crude. Or they'll broker the space to another company.
Clever.
This is just one of the many little activities that Jennings uses to finance Aegis One and the rest of his dog shit empire.
Forrest stands up.
It's like I always say, we gotta blow it, and we gotta blow it now.
Forrest marches downstairs in his cabin with the auburn-haired man, Johnny, and Saluk's daughter.
Blowing up Aegis One is not the answer, Forrest. There are enough dead bodies. Let's leave it to the authorities. I know the press. Let's contact the press. Have you learned anything from my father?
What do you want me to learn, Masu? Huh? I mean, do you really think that this hocus-pocus spirit stuff is gonna help us now? What do you think, some angel is gonna miraculously come down out of the sky and stop, say, 350 billion tons of oil from being spilled into our oceans every year? Maybe some ghost will stop all the cars from using gasoline. Maybe somehow some spirit will trip the big switch and all the technology that's been repressed for the last 70 years will suddenly be ours and it'll be a better place to live, a beautiful place. Maybe I should send my spirit guide over to Aegis One to stop it from going online so that Jennings can't fuck you and your people out of your land and your way of life forever. See, I love the spirit world and I loved your father, but it doesn't matter right now. What really matters is the cold, hard reality of this world, and that's what we got to deal with. I didn't want to resort to violence. I don't have a choice, and I'm not taking any chances this time, because I can't.
Sir Luke's daughter Masu watches Forrest walk away. In the hall, Forrest opens a secret door. A vast array of guns is inside.
Okay, I'll be going up into the mountains over the back ridge. I don't think anybody will be able to follow us up there by horseback. Give me this FA shotgun with all the magazines and ammo you got. Give me one M14, a couple of 45s and the SSG, and I think that'll do it.
Forrest and Masu get on horses outside.
You ride good?
Of course, I'm a Native American.
Yeah.
Johnny pats the horses, then Forrest and Masu ride away from the house towards a tree-covered hill. They start to race through the trees. A swarthy man with stubble checks a computer in a helicopter. He views images on the screen.
Are you aware that you don't have one shred of information on this renegade prior to his coming to work for Aegis Oil?
Yes, we are aware.
So what? So what was he doing? What's his military record? Where in the hell did he receive his EOD training at, Mac?
We couldn't access that information in time. And now we don't feel germane to its capture.
What do you got on the screen?
Nothing yet, sir.
Forrest and Masu are near the top of a mountain. In the chopper...
Our man in D.C. finds nothing on this guy before 1987.
Which means either he was born fully grown, or his background is so top secret, it doesn't even flag top secret when you run his jacket.
That's beautiful. Why, what's the matter? What's that supposed to mean?
Well, if I had to guess, I'd say it means he's company.
Company? Oh, now Farstap's been in the CIA? I don't think so.
CIA? NSA, maybe. DOD?
Oh, whatever he is, he's a damn problem.
Inside, Masu enters and walks towards a stack of numerous boxes of explosives.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I stocked this place up a couple years ago. Just in case.
In case of what? In case they declare war on some small country.
Yeah.
Around the wall are boxes marked high explosives and grenade hand fragmentation. Forrest opens a box. Electrical equipment is inside.
What are you doing?
This is a comm unit. I know they're coming to look for me. And if I key up a signal, they'll be able to find me. And that's just what I want.
In the helicopter, coordinates are displayed on a screen.
Bingo, I got something. 62 degrees, 9 minutes by 148 degrees even.
I know that country. Chopper's not going to do us much good. We need to get in there on horseback.
Get on the radio, Spinks. Get us some horses up
there.
Yes,
sir.
And take the chopper back up and spot him. We'll flush him out.
Jennings.
This rig is not lying.
Mr. Jennings.
Magruder on two.
A bespectacled man holds a phone.
I'm listening.
Mr. Jennings, sir. We found something. We're now in the area just north of Tab's cabin.
C4.
Forrest takes white square packets of explosives out of one of the boxes. He piles them up with rolls of wire and clothes pegs. He takes grenades from another box. Masu watches as Forrest continues selecting items. He chooses pliers and a mousetrap and transfers them to his pile, along with more clothes pegs and some blue batteries. The live pictures update on the monitor. Forrest uses a knife to open a packet inside a wooden box, a cardboard box nearby with the words explosives blasting type A. He puts the last items in his black bag and hands them to Masu.
Get this up to the horses as fast as you can. Stay down, stay out of sight.
Forrest inserts electrodes into the explosives. Masu runs off. Forrest holds a pair of pliers and removes the coloured plastic coating from the ends of two wires. He throws the pliers across the room and attaches the two wires to a box marked with the word track. The helicopter approaches. Forrest presses a button and runs. As the helicopter approaches, a light moves up a display on the track box. Forrest jumps ahead as the shack explodes and the helicopter is engulfed by orange flames. Forrest gets on a horse next to Masu.
Okay, let's get out of here.
They ride off. Lower down the mountain, the group of men from the SUV are on horseback.
Oh.
Magruder uses a whip on his horse. Forrest and Masu stop in a clearing. Forrest walks towards a tree and pats the trunk. He opens his black carry-all and takes a small green cloth bag from it and puts it over his shoulder. He places a device displaying the words front toward enemy against the tree. Forrest ties a connected wire and battery round a tree. The wires are connected to a mousetrap which is tied to the tree. The group of men on horseback is approaching. Masu watches as Forrest attaches a tripwire to the tree. Forrest throws a rope around a branch. He pulls the branch down and ties it in place. He holds a mine, attaches it to a second tree, then moves branches to disguise it. Stone sees Forrest and Masu above.
There he is. We've got him now. Let's go. Come on, bitch.
Come on, stay together.
The group races ahead.
Hold it up.
Magruder surveys the area as Stone dismounts. Stone and a man in a dark cap spot a blue battery on the floor.
over there.
Looks like he kept to the trail after he said it. And he spooked on the chopper for a second. Thought this guy was gonna be good. A Cub Scout could have found that.
You better watch it, sweetheart. Talk like that'll get you killed.
Fuck you.
The man in the dark cap and a man wearing black trousers ride ahead. Stone narrows his eyes, then shouts over at them.
Hold it up! Wait a minute!
An explosion.
Let's go!
The remaining men race off after Forrest. A horse had tripped a wire which caused the tree to swing back into place. As it did so, a man in a beige jacket had been knocked off his horse. He fell down a slope and was impaled by branches. Now, Forrest and Masu race ahead on their horses. Six men are on horseback riding up the slopes towards the top of the mountain. Forrest and Masu negotiate an incline. Dust fills the air as they race on. Forrest rides a dark chocolate brown horse, Masu is on a mid-brown horse. Their horses come to a stop. A gap of some feet divides where they stand from the next mass of land. A vast drop is between the two. Forrest yanks a device on his bag. He drops the bag. They ride their horses away from the edge. The group of men thunder along. Forrest turns back.
Come on!
Forrest and Masu race across the ground towards the gap. They jump over it. Forrest's and Masu's horses land on the other side. Together they ride away. Now the group of men is in sight. They race towards the gap. The gap has been widened by the explosion. A man with black pigtails inspects the gap.
This guy's good.
At least we know where in the hell he's going to now, don't we, Mac?
Damn right. Aegis One.
Forrest and Masu look at the Aegis One rig.
The only way we can get to the rig is through the refinery.
It doesn't look like anyone is expecting us.
Nothing could be further from the truth.
Forrest has been looking through binoculars. He hands them to Masu. The red SUV patrols the edges of the plant. Forrest and Masu cautiously approach the Aegis building. A gun is sticking out of Masu's bag.
Alright, stay out of sight. I'm gonna go blow the generator.
Forrest walks up to a fence. He cuts the wire fence and pushes through the hole. Inside the plant, a guard adjusts a gun. Forrest holds a gun in front of him as he steps towards a door. He peers through a small window and sees the guard inside the room. Forrest opens a plastic bottle and pours the fizzy contents into a bin. He then points the gun barrel first into the drinks bottle. Forrest tapes the gun in place, then cocks the trigger before knocking on the door.
I got some!
He ducks out of view, the guard walks over to the door. Forrest shoots the guard, who falls back onto the floor. Forrest enters the room, he is now holding a knife. He plunges the blade into lagging wrapped around a pipe, liquid starts to squirt out. Forrest switches off the emergency generator and removes a fuse. He inserts a screwdriver where the fuse was and turns the generator on. Jennings?
How much time, Mr. Harold?
Should be online in three and a half hours.
Excuse me, sir. This is John Stokes. He's the special agent in charge of the FBI anti-terrorist unit.
We now believe that this maniac Taft is on his way here and poses a genuine terrorist threat.
We're in position.
Thank you, Mr. Stokes.
Jennings grins and shakes hands with white-haired Mr. Stokes. The sky is now dark. Small trails of steam float up from chimneys outside the Aegis plant. Inside, a large valve has been wired to an area marked flammable. The Aegis control room. Forrest ties two pieces of wire together with a paperclip. The wire stretched to a fuse box marked 555-4212.
I'll be back. Gotta take a piss.
A worker drops a cigarette. The cigarette lands on Forrest's shoe. The worker, a tall man with curly hair, descends a flight of steps. The worker with a gun on a strap around his neck unzips his fly by some pipes. Forrest approaches. Forrest hits the man with the gun, then he starts to throttle him with the strap. Two men walk quickly down the stairs.
Mr. Jennings, I thought you wanted us to kill this motherfucker. How are we supposed to shoot him with all these cops standing around here, huh? I don't think so.
Magruder, it is essential we have the FBI here to cover ourselves legally. And it sure as hell will help with the press. They'll take the fall for anything that happens.
Look, don't worry about the FBI. We all know they couldn't find a hooker in a whorehouse anyway.
I mean, seriously, this guy'd have to be fucking out of his mind to try to get in this place now.
Then we should count on that, Mr. Magruder. Forrest Taft is the patron saint of the impossible. And if only you'd done your job as you're supposed to, it wouldn't have come to this. I pay you people a lot of money, a hell of a lot of money, to avoid situations like this. And the one time shit happens, you pricks let everything go out of control.
Forrest opens a door marked fire door keep closed. He walks to some workers.
Right out of here, this place is gonna blow.
Masu is inside. Forrest grabs her. Workers in hard hats run the other way. In the control room, steam and smoke fill the air. The fuse blows. All the lights go out.
What's the matter? What's happening?
Emergency generator. Security cameras are out.
Losing power. Computers are all locked. We're going to have to reboot.
How long will that take?
4 or 5 minutes tops.
He's back.
Who are you calling?
Just gonna reach out and touch somebody.
Forrest dials 555-4212 from his mobile.
What the hell was that?
The fuse box explodes in a ball of fire. Magruder looks round angrily.
Damn! You son of a bitch! God damn it!
Workers aim water jets at the fires. Forrest turns a handle marked hydrochloric acid. Forrest and Masu run down a corridor. A group of men are running after Stone.
Go! Let's go! Let's go!
We got an unstable condition here. Get your goddamn people out of here!
Go tell Johnny. Right. Fuck me!
Oh, thank God.
What's the damage?
The power's back.
He took out structures 8, 12, and 21.
That's not enough to shut us down. He's got to get to the rig to do any real damage.
Between Stone's men and the FBI, he'll never get there.
He'd need a miracle to stop us now.
Okay, you see over here these three doors? Here's where we are now. I need you to place two satchels here and here, then open this door and this door. We want to create a wind tunnel so that the wind will carry the fire through.
This man is inside the refinery now. We can't allow him to get to the rig. What I want you to do is snipe the guy, okay? You can see much better if you're higher.
We gotta talk.
Disperse.
We got a big problem here. Intel tells us we're dealing with one guy. We think we got a fucking fire team out there.
My guy in DC tells me that we are not dealing with a student here. We're dealing with a professor. Anytime the military has an operation that can't fail, they call this guy in to train the troops, okay? He's the kind of guy that would drink a gallon of gasoline so he could piss in your campfire. You could drop this guy off at the Arctic Circle wearing a pair of bikini underwear without his toothbrush, and tomorrow afternoon he's going to show up at your poolside with a $1 million smile and a fistful of pesos. This guy's a professional, you got me? If he reaches this rig, we're all going to be nothing but a big goddamn hole right in the middle of Alaska. So let's go find him and kill him and get rid of this son of a bitch.
Look on the middle deck!
Forrest has attached a wire to a small cauldron. A pipe is above it. He has turned a handle. Hydrochloric acid is coming out of the pipe and gushing into the cauldron.
Heads up. You see him?
Forrest shoots a man in a green hat, then he fires at a second man. A man in a black beret and pale shirt fires at Forrest. There are flames nearby. A man in a dark jacket fires at Forrest, who blasts back. A body hangs limply. Forrest stalks down a corridor holding his gun. Jennings in a control room stands watch over.
Excuse me.
This whole place is gonna blow. If you wanna go down with your ship, that's fine. But I am not that stupid.
Oh, yes, you are.
Magruder leaves. Lyle stands and walks to the door.
Where are you going?
To the bathroom.
Jennings touches the bespectacled guy's shoulder.
Stay here, I'm going to the rig.
Jennings walks through a door on the other side of the room. The bespectacled guy frowns before picking up his coat and heading for the door. Magruder and Lyles exit through a door on the roof. They run towards a waiting Aegis helicopter and clamber inside. Forrest shoots at the chopper. Magruder and Lyles run out of the plane. Forrest grabs Magruder and pushes him towards a propeller.
Listen to me! If you really want Jennings, you're gonna need me! I got files, I got tapes, I got books.
You better have them in your pocket right now!
I got him!
Yeah?
Magruder hits Forrest. He's pushed back, drops of blood hit the ground. Lyles is in a car.
Fuck him!
She drives into a low pipe. Liquid splashes out of the pipe. The liquid ignites. The car explodes in a fireball. Stone exits a lift.
I want you to protect this entrance like it was your sister's cherry, Tonto.
Yes, sir.
Put people over here, over here.
I'm going to the rig. I'm going to put pump 3 online. That'll be enough for me to keep my leases.
Right.
Without any help from you, Prince.
You're in charge here, Tonto.
Yes,
do
sir.
Not let that son of a bitch in here.
What do you think, stock in or out? What do you think?
I don't think it's going to make much difference.
Well, I do, see, because when it's out, I kind of feel like a pussy, you know what I'm saying? And when it's in, it feels like, I don't know, meaner or something. And when I kill this sumbitch, I won't feel good about myself. I won't feel solid.
Forrest and Masu dodge the falling sparks. Forrest turns a valve. A thick liquid dripples from the ceiling. It splashes the man with the long black ponytail and his group below.
What the hell is this?
Forrest aims his gun.
It's gasoline.
Get the fuck out of here!
Look out, see the flames.
Jesus Christ, this motherfucker's good. I told you he's good, didn't I?
Yeah, he's good, and he's coming this way.
Forrest and Masu run through a doorway. They dodge through a large area of flames as they run. Forrest opens the door, and he and Masu run down a long tunnel. At the end of the tunnel is a lift. Forrest presses the button to call the lift. The lift arrives. Forrest and Masu step inside. Forrest places a mine on the floor of the lift.
Take her up to level 6.
Masu presses the button. On Aegis 1 elevation 6...
Here he comes.
Open wide, sweetheart.
A burly man with a goatee and a man with a moustache fire at the lift. They hit the mine. Forrest?
You can cover my back.
Masu stands at the door of the control room. Forrest starts pressing buttons on a bank of computers.
Warning. Flooding. Center 5.
Rotary table. In operation.
Warning. Flooding.
Rotary
warning.
Table.
Emergency
operation.
Generator on.
Warning. Rotary table. Flooding. Casing warning. 12. Green. Rotary warning. Table. 12.
Flooding.
In operation.
Warning.
Warning,
main generator lockdown.
A thick black liquid oozes down pipes inside the hub of the building before dripping onto the floor below. Looking carefully around them, Forrest and Masu walk to another bank of computers. Forrest turns to Masu.
Okay, give me that shape charge.
Stone is standing in an expanse of black liquid in a tank on the floor. He holds a gun as he walks across the tank, keeping his eye on Forrest and Masu.
All right, I'm going to set some charges here which will cause the preventer to implode, and that'll prevent an oil spill.
Yeah, that's right. Go ahead, big boy. Make your move. And I'm gonna shove this goddamn shotgun up your ass and blow the top of your fucking head off.
Forrest has grabbed the gun and shot Stone. Outside, Jennings sees men who are running from the plant.
You're a bunch of gutless pricks! All of you!
Jennings turns an ocean oil sludge valve.
You help him with it!
Fuck you!
You yell bastard!
Forrest places a timer under a pipe.
He's still getting it online. That stupid asshole. Can't believe what he's doing. All right, lose your gear. We're out of here. Let's go. We got less than 3 minutes before this whole fucking place blows.
The dark sludge continues to drip down the sides of the vast machinery. Forrest and Masu go through a door.
There he is! Don't shoot! Hold your fire! You'll blow us all to Kingdom Come in this room! Farmer, handcuff! Let's go!
Go! Fucking goddamn
shit! Got him all!
Man, I just
fire! Fire! No firing! Come on! Move it! Let's go! Let's go!
I'll pull the heat. When they come to me, you go.
A sign warning flammable area.
There he is! North side! North side! North side! Come
in! I got him! I got him over here! God
damn it! Where? Where the fuck is he?
A tall man and a short man holding two knives run towards Forrest. Forrest breaks off a piece of pipe. Forrest whirls the pipe around his head, hitting two men. A man in a hat runs up. He grabs the hat man and shoves him through a window. Masu?
Forrest!
Forrest and Masu go upstairs where Jennings is altering machinery. Forrest aims his gun.
Oh! My long-lost friend, Michael.
Forrest looks at Masu.
Who's this? This a slope bitch you've been banging?
No, not her.
This the one got you all concerned about the dirty snow? Jesus, Forrest. You and me, we bought hookers better than this for $5 in Bangkok.
You know, I've been thinking about this for a long time. What does one say to a man with no conscience? I'd like to tell you about the millions of people that you've made suffer. But I'd be a total idiot to think that you'd care. You're a piece of shit, Michael. Scum of the earth.
I don't know what you did with my rig, Forrest. But whatever it was, I want you to stop it. Turn it off. I'm leaving.
I got a better idea.
You're a macho man with a code of honor. You won't shoot me in the back.
He grabs some wire and lassoes Jennings' foot. Forrest ties the wire to a hook and pushes Jennings so he's dangling off a balcony. Forrest and Masu run downstairs. They find Jennings upside down.
Go ahead! Shoot me, go on! Shoot me, you fucking coward! You haven't got the fucking guts!
I wouldn't dirty my bullets.
You macho asshole! Go ahead, shoot!
Dirty one for me, Forrest.
Forrest shoots the rope. Jennings falls towards the tank.
This is for my father.
Forrest and Masu run into the lift.
We're not gonna make it. We're going to die.
Calm down, we're not gonna die. We stopped this spill, didn't we, huh? Father'd be proud of us. All right, listen to me. I'm going to make a path. You stay on my heels and don't look back! Don't look back!
The explosive device counts down from 10 seconds. Forrest and Masu run off. The countdown continues. 3, 2, 1. Forrest and Masu are running down a corridor as a pipe falls from above. They have to leap over another pipe as it falls across their path. Explosions are happening all around the oil plant. Flames burst out from shattered windows, narrowly missing the pair as they run. The explosions continue. Blue sparks fly as orange flames and grey smoke fill the air. Forrest and Masu run to the SUV. Forrest starts to drive. Tall flaming structures collapse, crashing down near the SUV. A structure falls in their path. Forrest maneuvers around it. They've driven through the exit gate. Above, flames and smoke emanate from the disintegrating plant. Orange flames soar through the roof of the oil plant. The picture dissolves. Now a grand building, the Alaska State Capitol. Film footage illustrates a talk that Forrest is giving.
I'd like to start out by saying thank you to all the brothers and sisters that have come here today representing this cause. I've been asked by Mr. Etok and the Tribal Council to speak to you and the members of the press about the injustice that's been brought against us by some government officials and big business. How many of you out there have heard of alternative engines? Engines that can run on anything from alcohol to garbage or water. Or carburetors that can get hundreds of miles to the gallon. Or electric or magnetic engines that can practically run forever. You don't know about them because if they were to come into use, they'd put the oil companies out of business. The concept of the internal combustion engine has been obsolete for over 50 years. But because of the oil cartels and corrupt government regulation, we and the rest of the world have been forced to use gasoline for over 100 years. Big business is primarily responsible for destroying the water we drink, the air we breathe, and the food we eat. They have no care for the world they destroy, only for the money they make in the process. How many oil spills can we endure? Millions and millions of gallons of oil are now destroying the ocean and the many forms of life it supports. Among these is plankton, which supplies 60 to 90% of the Earth's oxygen. It supports the entire marine ecosystem, which forms the basis of our planet's food supply. But the plankton is dying. I thought, well, let's go to some remote state or country, anywhere on Earth. But in doing a little research, I realized that these people broker toxic waste all over the world. They basically control the legislation, and in fact, they control the law. The law says no company can be fined over $25,000 a day. If a company is making $10 million a day by dumping lethal toxic waste into the ocean, it's only good business to continue doing this. They influence the media so that they can control our minds. They've made it a crime to speak out for ourselves, and if we do so, we're called conspiracy nuts and we're laughed at. We're angry because we're all being chemically and genetically damaged. And we don't even realize it. Unfortunately, this will affect our children. We go to work each day and right under our noses, we see our car and the car in front of us spewing noxious and poisonous gases that are all accumulative poisons. These poisons kill us slowly, even when we see no effect. How many of us would have believed if we were told 20 years ago that on a certain day we wouldn't be able to see 50 feet in front of us? That we wouldn't be able to take a deep breath because the air would be a mass of poisonous gas. That we wouldn't be able to drink out of our faucets, that we'd have to buy water out of bottles. The most common and God-given rights have been taken away from us. Unfortunately, the reality of our lives is so grim, nobody wants to hear it. Now I've been asked what we can do. I think we need a responsible body of people that can actually represent us rather than big business. This body of people must not allow the introduction of anything into our environment that is not absolutely biodegradable or able to be chemically neutralized upon production. And finally, as long as there's profit to be made from the polluting of our Earth, companies and individuals will continue to do what they want. We have to force these companies to operate safely and responsibly, and with all our best interest in mind, so that when they don't, we can take back our resources and our hearts and our minds and do what's right.
Father, the Great Spirit, I ask you to bless all the people here, at our grandmas, our grandpas, and the little ones. We have a four directions, and I want to bless the future generation and the Indian nation. Our people, to be strong again. Spotted Eagle. The earth. It's our grandma.
Forrest raised his hands, then walked into the audience. He was greeted by the members of the crowd. Beautiful scenery, a wide stretch of mountains surrounding a clear lake. ITFC audio description.
We should could use some.